Previously on Willing to Adapt.
But Miss Trunchbull is mean.
She's mean. She's the headmistress. She's just cruel.
Well, horribly abusive.
Horribly abused. Yes. In fact, I was even uncomfortable reading
it. I was very uncomfortable reading it. All right. Do you want me to give a summary for the book?
Let me give it.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yes, I have a summary.
Okay.
So there's this young girl with powers, and she meets this teacher or professor, and the professor recruits her to teach her how to use the powers, and then they form a superhero. Oh, wait, no. Sorry. That was X-Men. Never mind. Go ahead with your summary. You know, and I think that she's a rarity where she has that even emotional, what they call it, emotional intelligence or social intelligence.
I would make the argument, like, because of all of the books that she had read, she's able to empathize with people more. And so she's picked up on some of that, like, social intelligence.
That would make sense, because if she was more of a science...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But because she had read so much, like, classic literature, she was saying, like, every once in a while comes someone in her life who... And just like, you know, it could be Jesus and all these things. Like, okay, no. Matilda is a 1996 American fantasy comic. It's co-produced and directed by Danny DeVito. I think it's actually very close to the book.
It is.
I'm Eric Von Crumley.
And I'm Romy Reyes.
Have you ever wondered how a book becomes a movie?
Or how a movie becomes a musical?
Or how anything is adapted at all?
Join us as we talk about your favorite stories and all the changes that were made along the way.
But more importantly, why? This is Willing to Adapt.
I think the movie does this really good job of giving a lot of the reasoning for why things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
And the book kind of just bounces around, it seems like, to me. But in the movie, yeah, after the whole, you know, TV blowing up scenario, it says the next day that Mr. Wormwood, basically he sells the car to the Trunchbull.
Yeah.
And again, that's not in the book.
No, it just, she mentions it, but that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it's so off the cuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they make that becomes a big plot point in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt sad. I didn't notice this as a kid, obviously. You find out in the movie when he's talking to the Trunchbull, and they do a really good job of not showing you her until later. Like, the whole, having her in silhouette and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You get the idea that he only agreed to allow Matilda to go to school because he knew that he'd be going to school with a woman like this.
Hmm.
Because prior to that, he was like, you're not going to go to school.
Yeah.
Like, I can't have you go to school. But then he was so upset with Matilda that when he met the Trunchbull and found out that she was the principal at... The Trunchbull. Yeah. When he found that out, that's when he comes to her and he says, okay, you're going to go to school.
Yeah.
I noticed this when I watched it. She said, you have brats of your own. He's like, yeah, I've got a boy, Mikey, and one mistake, Matilda. I was like, oh, that's not in the book.
Nope.
I mean, it makes some sense. They do small things like that in the movie that help you understand, like, the characters. Like, it really makes sense why they really like Mikey at that point and why they really don't like Matilda.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that Matilda's just so different.
Yeah.
There's things like that that help really understand who they are and why they do what they do. And it's so off the cuff, but it's a good job, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, you know, he takes her to school and she's super excited and it's horrible. They definitely make the Trunchbull, like, the main villain in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was a force to be reckoned with in the book, for sure.
Yeah.
But they really lean into this idea of her being the ultimate villain, essentially, in the movie.
But I think it fits. The way they're characterized in both of the mediums fit the medium that the way they're done.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think in a movie, of course, you need to have a protagonist and an antagonist.
Right.
And so I agree with you. I think it was well done. The character is... I mean, between the acting and the makeup and all that stuff, she was ugly. That's why when you showed me, they did. That's why when you showed me that video of what she looks like, the woman who played the actress who played it. Yeah, I was like, wow.
Yeah, she's actually pretty. Yeah,
yeah, very different.
Yeah. Okay, so did you ever watch the TV show Face Off on Sci-Fi?
No, but I remember it.
It's a couple of seasons are on Netflix right now.
Okay.
One of the judges on Face Off was V. Neil. And V. Neil did the makeup for this.
Oh,
she also did the makeup for Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. which tells you something.
Yeah, it does.
The other movie you might know her makeup from, the only other one I can think of right now, is she did the makeup for Lost Boys.
Never saw that.
The vampire movie from the 80s?
Yeah, I never saw it.
Well, I mean, just you have to imagine the makeup for that. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what they would do is, like, they had a couple of prosthetics that were made of gelatin, I guess.
Mm.
And they had, like, one on her nose and a couple areas on her face. And then what they basically did is just brought out her imperfections.
Mm.
So a lot of, like, broken vessels and sun damage and things like that. And then they went in with a mascara brush and darkened in her peach fuzz.
That's funny.
And so when you have the close-ups, you can see it looks like she's got a little bit of, like, a mustache and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stuff like that. Apparently, they did a lot more. Like, they did stuff on her legs and stuff. You just don't really see it.
Mm.
Yeah. She's good. Like, she's so memorable in that. Apparently, Pam Ferris originally tried to stay away from the children when she was not in character and to, like, maintain that just for the kids' benefit. Yeah. But apparently, the kids were so adventurous and friendly. Like, they would just go up to her and, like, grab her hand. And she said that it just, like, melted her heart. Like, she's like, I can't stay with these kids. Yeah. She's like, I wish I could have taken one with me. I mean, in the movie, they do rearrange a few scenes, obviously. I think they do a good job of introducing her character in the movie. Because in the book, she kind of just stumbles into the book, it seems like to me. But in the movie, you're introduced to her character and you hear all about her from the other kids.
Yeah.
And it builds up this legend about her.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the first thing that she does is basically, like, spin a girl by her pigtails and throw her over a fence.
Yeah, I noticed that was in a different place.
Yeah.
Compared to the book.
Which I think was well done.
Because
it just, like, just really establishes who she is. And, of course, that scene's so much more dramatized in the movie.
It was. I think that but I feel like the movie, though, was more fantastical from the beginning, as we kind of mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And, like I said, that was, I think for me in the book, that was the first time when it, outside of her level of intelligence, when you really hit the first fantastic. Because I kept on waiting for that to enter the book. I'm like, okay, where's magic and stuff like that? And it didn't really happen until the first time she throws a kid and the kid.
Mm-hmm.
Though in the book, the kid just lands on the field and happens to be alive.
In this movie, one, there's like aspect of danger.
Yeah, I think in the movie she kind of floats down, doesn't she?
Hmm?
Doesn't she float down or something?
In the movie?
Yeah.
No. In the movie, there's this idea of, like, is she going to make the fence?
Yeah, I remember that.
It's like the spiked fence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's going to be a close one. And she's, like, freaking out. But then she just lands in the field of flowers.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah, and then she scoops up the flowers from Miss Honey. She literally says, I scooped these up for you.
That's right. I forgot about that part.
Yeah. Yeah, so what they did for that scene is they put her in a body harness, and they actually, like, had her suspended from, like, a crane, and then they had fake pigtails on her with a wig that they had to constantly glue back on.
That's funny.
And they would actually just spin her around.
Mm.
Yeah, you can go watch the behind the scenes. It's pretty fun. Yeah.
I'll have to watch them. So what else in the movie?
What else?
Yeah, what other? I think there's one major difference.
Well, there's a lot of differences. We'll just keep going in order.
Mm-hmm.
So they in the book they mention she has the chokey,
but they never show it.
Mm-hmm. Like, none of the characters have to go in there. They just mention it.
Yeah.
In the movie, they mention it a couple times,
and then they show it.
And then they have Matilda go in it, which I thought was well done, but and scary. So what happens is Miss Honey is amazing, of course, and, like, the nicest person ever. But the book does a good job. I mean, the movie does a good job with the narration of constantly in the movie of, like, foreshadowing what's going to come. They hint that she's going to have powers early on.
Yeah.
With the narration, they say things like she would never come to realize the full potential that she could have if it wasn't for the events the next day or things like that. And then the narration about Miss Honey where it says she had the kindest heart, although she had her own pain that she had to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
She never let it affect her teaching and things like that. Like, she held a dark secret. Like, it just kind of draws you in. It's like, what is it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's similar in that Matilda is very smart. She can calculate large numbers in her head.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes to talk to the Trunchbull.
Mm-hmm.
And she tries to get her into a higher class. And the Trunchbull thinks that she's just trying to pass her off to another teacher because she can't handle her.
Yeah.
And I think in this scene, you actually kind of get a hint of their relationship more.
Yeah, I from what I remember, it seemed that way. Yeah. 'Cause I know in the book, you don't find out until she tells you.
Right. And then it's then that the Trunchbull says, if you can't handle her, I'll lock her up in the Chokey.
Yeah.
I think the biggest, one of the big differences is in the book, you keep getting the sense that people in the town are kind of aware of what's happening at the school.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just kind of too scared of her, of the Trunchbull, and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But in the movie, they don't do that. They have that moment where Hortensia is explaining, mm-hmm. like, the time she had to go in the Chokey and all these things.
Yeah.
And Matilda says, well, didn't you tell your parents? And she says, they didn't believe me. Would your parents believe you? And Matilda says, no. But that's a big difference, because they're both interesting, because they're both very societal viewpoints.
Yeah.
One is, we're aware of this, but we don't want to get involved. We're too scared.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is, why would we believe you? This is so outlandish.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting, because then Trunchbull can get away with a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, this assumes that, you know, organizations don't exist to check on schools and
yeah.
stuff like that. But, you know, it's a kid's story.
It works for the story.
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm.
In the movie, Lavender finds the newt when the friends are all hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
And it leads into that scene where the Trunchbull shows up. Oh, well, I guess this is the scene with Bruce, right? The Bruce Bogtrotter with the cake, mm-hmm. and
yeah.
everything. The biggest difference in that one is that scene almost got cut from the movie, by the way.
Hmm.
Yeah. Because they didn't think it would move the plot forward or anything. Okay. Which I felt really bad, because that poor kid had eaten so much cake. Like, yeah. he got to spit it out and stuff, but yeah. still... And Beth Davids, who played Miss Honey,
mm-hmm.
said that, like, she would go home and stuff, but then they'd be filming scenes with him and Pam Ferris as the Trunchbull
mm-hmm.
for that scene, like, oh, wow. all the time.
Wow. Well, children actors, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Different roles.
I do like that when the Trunchbull's talking, you can see the PA system is, like, pulsing.
Oh, I don't remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm glad they kept it in, because the biggest difference in that one is... you get to see Matilda starting to stand up to the Trunchbull
mm.
in that scene. And that's not in the book. Like, they cheer him on in the book,
mm-hmm.
but she's the one that spearheads it in the movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, she's the one that stands up and when he looks like he's not going to make it. And yeah. she's like, you can do it, Bruce. You know? And then everybody else chips in. So that leads in the movie in the end, obviously, uh-huh. when the kids all stand up to the Trunchbull, which isn't really in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can see how it's the beginnings of that.
Yeah.
But anyways, after that, you know, Bruce, Matilda, and Lavender, her friend, and whoever are all, like, at a creek, and they're hanging out and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they find the newt, and they take it to school. And that's when the Trunchbull shows up with her car that she got from Mr. Wormwood, Matilda's father.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, a horrible car.
Yeah.
And so she's livid about mm-hmm. the car. And so she goes and she, like, takes her anger out on Matilda, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Which they do mention in the book. That, like, if you were just at the wrong place at the wrong time because she was mm-hmm. in a bad mood, like, she would take it out on you.
Yeah.
But in the movie, she, like, throws her in the Chokey. And she says, you know, the apple doesn't rot far from the tree.
Okay. I wasn't sure when that happened.
Mm-hmm. And so I liked it because then, in turn, that's when you see when Lavender explains to Miss Honey, you mm-hmm. know, obviously, like, almost in pantomime, that Matilda's in the Chokey.
Yeah.
And then that's when Miss Honey goes and saves Matilda in the movie. And again, that doesn't take place in the book because Matilda never ends up in the Chokey in the mm-hmm. book.
Yeah.
And so you see, like, the beginning, like, they already had, like, a good click mm-hmm. for their relationship, but now they're building on it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Miss Honey went and saved her and is standing up to the Trunchbull now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like they're starting to grow on this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's that scene, of course, where, you know, Matilda makes it so that the newt goes flying onto the Trunchbull and she freaks mm-hmm. out and everything and, you know... Miss Honey keeps standing up for her. And then Matilda goes in the movie and tells Miss Honey that she did it. Like, she's the one that made it move.
Yeah.
But then she can't do it again. Like, she tries to do it for her, but she can't.
I thought that was different. I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, I already said it, but one of the reasons why I like that she couldn't do it
mm-hmm.
is, one, I just felt like it was just too easy in the book. Like, all of a sudden she's just has these powers and she can just keep using them.
Mm-hmm.
But in the movie, Matilda and Miss Honey are really connecting.
Mm.
Now, and so even though she can't prove that she did it
mm-hmm.
and she's pretty sure she did it, Miss Honey wants to, like, invite her over for tea, like, she has that really sweet moment where they're interacting with each other, but none of them technically is special at this point.
Yeah,
like, they're just two characters who who understand each other really well because they've gone through very terrible things together, mm-hmm. like separately, and they can relate to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so Miss Honey says the bit about how Matilda grew up in a family that never really fully appreciated her or mm-hmm. understood her and all that. Oh, and obviously there's the scene with like her going to the house and stuff, which mm-hmm. is a little different.
Yeah.
But it really felt like Miss Honey saw her Matilda's family mm-hmm. and what they're like. And so it was just like, it felt to me like she was reaching out to this like poor girl.
Mm.
And it was like, you found like another soul who, mm-hmm. who feels the way she does and who she can like be a light in the world to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so like they build on that relationship. And I like that in the movie,
mm-hmm.
they show her house. Because in the book, you never see the Trunchbull's mm-hmm. house.
Yeah.
Miss Honey's old house.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just hear about it. Mm-hmm. And then in the end, like they go to it, but at the end.
Yeah.
But in the movie, when they're on the way to Miss Honey's little cottage,
mm-hmm.
they go by the Trunchbull's house.
Mm-hmm.
And she says that's where the Trunchbull lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course Matilda's like, why is there a swing?
Yeah.
And then she goes into the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact, in the movie,
mm-hmm.
the portrait of her father, Magnus.
Yeah.
That's Roald Dahl.
Oh really?
Uh-huh.
Did not know that.
Yeah. They took a picture or a version of a picture of him when he was in the RAF.
Interesting.
Yeah. They did that as an homage to him.
Oh, mm-hmm. okay. Cool.
Yeah. And then the doll that Miss Honey had that she gives to Matilda,
mm-hmm.
Lissy Doll
mm-hmm.
was the name of his second wife, who was his wife at the time of the movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So instead of D-O-L-L, it's D-A-H-L.
Mm-hmm.
Lissy Doll.
Yeah.
Get it?
Yes.
When I found that out, my mind was blown. But the movie does a good job of showing you like what's at stake.
Yeah, it does. I think it's, but that goes back to what I've been saying and how the mediums, the different.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yeah, and I think it worked very well for the movie.
I think because I came from the movie first and you did too, it was tough for me because in the movie they literally go into the house
mm-hmm.
and it's like they're gonna get caught
mm-hmm.
and it's very dire and. But at the same time, you see all that's been lost.
Mm.
Like, you see this was her room. This was her doll. Like, these are the things she had to leave behind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these things. And Matilda thinks to go into the house after hearing the story.
Yeah.
About everything. Like, mm-hmm. all the things she had to leave behind. Like, her doll and memories and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and this is all added in. But it's all stuff that was in the book. It was just, like, the idea of
fleshed
like,
out.
It was like, can we go there
mm-hmm.
and see what it was that she had to give up?
Yeah.
And then the idea of the Trunchbull coming back
mm-hmm.
and catching them. And,
yeah.
And that was super scary.
Yeah, that was the tensest part of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, sidetrack real quick. I really liked that Matilda really cared for her family, even though they were terrible in the movie. Because in the movie, she's aware that the FBI is after her dad.
Oh,
like she just tells
you mean
them
how
straight,
she protects them, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but like straight up, she tells them like, "Well, the FBI is watching the house."
Yeah,
and like, no, they're not. I would know. It's like she gets that little argument with him,
mm-hmm.
but like she does protect him.
Yeah,
like I like how the narration says she bought her father some time to come to his senses.
Mm-hmm. I didn't catch. I forgot about that part.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and then of course, you know, in the book, she just kind of automatically has her powers, but in the movie, you know, they're kind of. They have to flesh it out more. They have to draw it out more because they have to fill out more time.
Yeah.
It wasn't a 2-hour movie. I think it was maybe an hour and a half, mm-hmm. if that. But still, yeah, there's a lot more to flesh out. And so, obviously, they added bits in where she's, like, trying to control her powers mm-hmm. and trying to... You know, it's kind of like that Spider-Man moment. Go web, go.
Yes.
You know, like, what can I do? And, like, pushing the limits and
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing. But it was fun.
In fact, there was one moment in the book where Ms. Honey says something about you realize how big of a responsibility or something like that, or how big of a deal it is that you have this power. And I kept waiting for her to say, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. But
no, you get to see like the fledglings of like what's to come, like with the, mm-hmm. the FBI coming after the family
yeah.
and her like practicing her powers mm-hmm. and things like that. Okay. So like the big one is, In the book, Matilda kind of just goes really quickly. She hears about the Trunchbull taking the house, and
mm-hmm.
and she very like you don't know this is what she's gonna do, but very quickly Matilda's like, okay, well, I'm gonna pretend to be her dead dad, and
yeah.
I'm gonna freak out the Trunchbull and like make her leave, and then mm-hmm. Miss Honey gets her house back. But that ends up being in the end what happens, mm-hmm. but it wasn't her plan in the movie.
Yeah.
And you can argue that she's technically kind of pretending to be the dead father in the movie still at first,
mm-hmm.
But not so blatantly.
Yeah.
And so, like, in the movie, obviously, she goes to freak out the Trunchbull, because mm-hmm. I think the movie did a good job of foreshadowing early on that the Trunchbull's superstitious.
Correct, yeah.
I don't think that was in the book.
It was not in the book.
Right.
No.
And that just goes back to my saying that the movie gives a lot more reasoning
mm-hmm.
for things. And so that kind of planted the idea in Matilda's brain, well, I can play on this
mm-hmm.
and then make it work.
Yeah.
And this is why they had to go to their house to begin mm-hmm. with, because she needed to, in the movie, of course.
Yeah.
Because then she knows where things are
mm-hmm.
and she knows how to maneuver and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so she does a whole bit where, like, she makes, like, the clock chime multiple times, and
yeah.
she makes the electricity kind of flicker in and out, mm-hmm. and she, like, went and got the chocolate. That there's a lot more emotion in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
They flesh out the idea of, like, the things that Miss Honey missed out on,
mm-hmm.
because, like, her father dying and her being forced out of the house mm-hmm. and stuff. Like, the bit about the chocolate, you know, like, he would take half of it.
Yeah,
he'd take half of it and then give the other half to me. Mm-hmm. But then after he died, the Trunchbull would count them, so I couldn't even sneak one.
Yeah,
and stuff. And then that's when Matilda brings a chocolate for her.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's so sweet, you mm-hmm. know, stuff like that. So I think in the book it was very matter of fact,
mm-hmm.
and in the movie it was much more of like an emotional connection.
Yeah, it fit the mediums.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I like the drama of the portrait of Magnus coming down mm-hmm. after her portrait, the Trunchbull's portrait had been burned.
Yeah.
She's like, Magnus!
I will say, in reading the book, I was glad it ended the way it did. I think if it would have gone any longer, it would have just drawn out the book a little too much. So for the simplicity of the book, for the medium that it was, I mm-hmm. liked the way it was handled. You know, I didn't need to see the house and do all that. But going to a movie, it was a welcome addition because it hits all the emotional parts.
Mm-hmm. It's still a simple story, though.
It is. And it hypes up in I think if they would have done the ending in the book, in the movie, it would have
been like a letdown.
It would have.
Yeah.
And this added to that emotional, mm-hmm. the gravitas of the emotion at the end of what happens. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, because in the book, it ends pretty quickly, I thought. Like,
yes.
I was surprised that she was won over, like, that she won so quickly in mm-hmm. the book. I thought that the Trunchbull would fight back at some point or not believe it or something. But in the movie, you know, there's the whole bit where she freaks her out and tries to make her leave the house and, mm-hmm. and like, flee the town and stuff. But then she loses her ribbon.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Trunchbull catches on and she's like, oh, okay, I see what's going on here.
Yeah.
And so then the next day, the Trunchbull shows up and mm-hmm. she goes to teach Miss Honey's class again.
Mm-hmm.
And then now it's on between the two of them in the movie.
Yeah.
And so eventually it leads to Matilda using the chalk to pretend mm-hmm. to be, you know, Miss Honey's father.
Yeah.
But it leads to that. Yeah. And even after that, like, there's the whole, like, back and forth. Like, the Trunchbull's still trying to, mm-hmm. to, like, have her way and, like, get to the kids. And
no, yeah, it does. But I think it works.
Yeah,
it works.
And it had to build to that, obviously.
And I felt like in the book, because it kept the pace. To throw in something all of a sudden more dramatic would have ruined mm-hmm. the pace of the book.
You know, I think that, like, again, I think that goes back to, I think the book is definitely just exploring, like, this phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
And then the movie has much more of that, the emotional connections and the adventure of it.
Because in the book, they explore the phenomenon
mm-hmm.
a lot. You know, they go into detail about what she felt behind her eyes
right, yeah.
and the electricity. Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah. I think the book centered around her powers a lot more. Whereas in the movie, like, she was building these relationships and then the powers just ended up helping out.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely has a very climactic ending in the movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very different.
And Miss Honey gets the house back. And it's funny because in the movie, Miss Honey becomes the principal.
I don't remember that.
That part. Wasn't in the book.
Yeah, no. It was the...
Yeah, Miss Honey takes over Crunchham Hall in the movie.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's just narrated. I like that in the movie, the parents, like, go to, like, quickly pick up Matilda,
mm-hmm.
which is a little different than the book. But in the movie, they're not going to Spain. They're going to Guam.
Okay.
Which in my head, I'm thinking, was Guam part of America back then?
Sure, yeah, as far as I know.
So I'm like, couldn't the Couldn't the FBI get to them still?
But I think that adds to their incompetence.
Right, I know. That's why I liked it. I thought it was funny. But in the movie, they made it very clear that she is being adopted.
Yes.
By Miss Honey. She is her child.
Yeah.
Which was different.
Yeah, they didn't have her draft legal papers.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that fit, once again, with the simplicity of the book.
But I feel like, I think the movie redeems her parents a little bit.
How?
Well, I mean, if only just with the line of, for the first time in their life, they did the one decent thing for their child.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's a lot in the acting, for sure. The way, especially like with Rhea Perlman, but even with Danny DeVito, this idea of, well, we clearly don't like each other and we're not good for each other and we've never had a good relationship. And, you know, like, why would we take her with us? Like, if she's going to be happy here anyways, like, let's just, like, give her up, essentially. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they're not good parents at all. But I like the movie definitely kind of gave the idea of redeeming them a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. In the book, they just gave her up.
Right. They're like, okay, great. Go, bye.
Yeah.
And of course, there's the montage at the end where you get to see what Matilda's life is like and how happy it is and how they fix up the house again. And, you know, it's like the rebirth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it just tugs at your heartstrings a bit. Because you got to see how sad everything had become and like how the house had been changed and neglected. And
yeah.
And it was like brought back to life again in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree. I think it fit the medium.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Matilda finally got the life she wanted.
I don't think the movie hit me as much just because I was older. I think if I would have, because like,
yeah, I definitely have nostalgia lenses.
Yeah, no, I that tends to happen when we with, you know, with things we see as a kid.
It's still a good movie. It's really good.
No, it is. It is. But like, I think back as I'm reading the book and watching the movie about how, like I told you, I try to picture what would I have thought back as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And back then I would have resonated with it probably a lot more.
I saw a lot of myself in Matilda.
That's why. Yeah, I would have seen that a lot more back then.
Mm-hmm.
Being an adult and a parent, I there's a lot more to filter through in order to see it.
Mm-hmm.
That resonating of being different, and we've talked about this, I think, and maybe we might have talked about it in previous podcasts.
I'm sure we have.
Yeah, I know we've talked about it off air, but that whole idea of being different and being an intellectual, and I've talked about being a ghetto intellectual, and how it was hard at times growing up because I often didn't see people like I could never connect with them. And so to see her with that, with her family. Now, granted, my family was not like that. I got along with them fine. And I had a great childhood, but resonating with the way she was with the parents was kind of how I was with other people outside.
The one of the things the movie does that's a little different from the books is they really lean into this idea of Matilda feeling alone and like losing hope. And then it wasn't until she started like making friends and then like finding a kindred spirit in Miss Honey.
In the movie?
Yes.
How did they portray that? I don't remember.
Well, and some of it's in the narration, but like they definitely have scenes where like you see her literally alone, or like there's the kids at the park on the other side of the fence from her, but she's like reading a book on her own.
Oh, okay.
And then there's the bit where she's crying and like over her book, and the narration says, "Sometimes Matilda longed for a friend, like the kind, courageous people in her book. It occurred to her that such talking dragons and princesses with hair long enough to climb, such people might only exist in storybooks." Which just broke my heart.
Yeah.
And I've definitely had moments in my life where I felt like that.
Interesting. I never really thought of it that way. I just figured they just don't exist.
Oh.
But no, I can see the appeal of the book and movie, the movie in particular, as for children.
I liked how in the movie, it seemed like Miss Honey and Matilda had much more of a relationship in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Miss Honey stood up for Matilda and like literally saved her at one point. Whereas in the book, it felt like it was off balance. It felt like Miss Honey was kind of trying to help Matilda with her powers a little bit, but it really felt like Matilda was there for Miss Honey. Whereas it really felt like they had developed a relationship in the movie.
Yeah, but I think that goes with normal movie character development,
though. Yeah, but that's still a choice. Like, they didn't have to do that.
True. But I think it helps in a movie, because otherwise it would be kind of flat. That's, I think, for me, a big
So then you're saying it was flat in the book,
then? Well, I did. I said the book was a little bit more So yeah, it was more two-dimensional mm-hmm. in the book in the sense that it was a simplistic children's story where he was really, he had his ideas that he wanted to get out and he was getting from point A to point right. B. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you came across this, but mm-hmm. there's something that might change the way you look at the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so sad. So did you notice in the end of the movie who the movie was dedicated to?
No.
It was dedicated to Mara Wilson's mother because she died from cancer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right before the movie came out, she died.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So she was struggling with cancer during the making of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't notice as a kid, obviously. Mara Wilson's mother was, like, getting treatment during the filming.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't want Mara to know,
mm-hmm.
obviously. And so Mara didn't know for a very long time mm-hmm. that her mom was. And even when she did know, either way, what was going on was the days that her mom would have to go to the hospital for mm-hmm. treatments and things. Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman would basically take care of Mara Wilson.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, they would take her to the movies, or they would go and like, just spend time with her mm-hmm. and things like that. And so, like, they were almost, like, surrogate parents to her mm-hmm. during the filming.
Yeah.
And so, like, when things got really tough, like, they were there for her.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. And then this made me almost cry.
Mm-hmm.
Because her mom passed before the movie was released,
mm-hmm.
Danny DeVito went with an unfinished version and showed it to her in the hospital before she died.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah.
It's so sad.
Yeah.
But they wanted her to see Mara in the movie.
Yeah.
Before she went.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Mara Wilson was only 7.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is sad.
Yeah. So, like, she was kind of aware of what was happening, but mm-hmm. they were withholding a lot from her so that she didn't have to struggle with it.
Yeah.
But she has said on record that if it wasn't for Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman, that mm-hmm. she doesn't know how she would have gone through it. Yeah, especially because she had to go through, like, all the publicity and stuff after the movie came out, after her mom had passed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dang. That's right. Rough.
So I don't know if I'm looking into it too much, but I can kind of see how, like, some of that might have come out in her character. Like, how she was portraying certain things in the film.
Possibly, yeah. Because I know as a kid, you tend to pull from different stuff than you do. It's a little easier to pretend, but you can still pull from stuff, and it's mm-hmm. a little different and easier as a kid than it is as an adult actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just makes you view it through a little bit of a different lens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anything else from the movie before we wrap
up? The only
up?
Thing I can think of right now off the top of my head is they only use CGI in that movie mm-hmm. Few times.
Okay.
Like, one time was the carrot that she sends flying it back at her brother when he flips it at her.
Mm.
And then there's the cards and the chips in mm-hmm. the scene she dances in.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But other than that, everything was practical.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's actually really interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of the scenes, like when she lifts the jug of water,
mm-hmm.
They had a guy under the table with a pole. And it was like a painted blue pole
mm-hmm.
that they just removed afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But like, he just lifted it up.
That's funny.
Stuff like that. And then the coolest one
mm-hmm.
is they actually had a floating chalk.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a guy behind the chalkboard
mm-hmm.
and they had written out backwards what to write out.
Oh, okay.
And there was a very, very powerful magnet in the chalk.
Mm.
And so he was writing backwards mm-hmm. and then the chalk on the other side that we see was connected by a magnet.
That's cool.
Yeah. And so even when it's like kind of floating, like it's mm-hmm. like it's so powerful that it's not gonna fall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because now it'd just be CGI.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But I just love practical special effects.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even the scenes where the trunchbull being beaten mm-hmm. by the erasers.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the same thing. They had someone with poles that they removed the poles in post.
Oh, okay.
But it's people like hitting her.
That's funny.
Yeah. Other than that, I can't think of anything right now, but I really love the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The book's fine. I love the movie though.
I can tell.
I would go to Blockbuster and get that movie all the time as a kid. So, all right. Scale of 1 to 10, book and then movie. 1 is I wish I had not read this or watched this. 10 is I could watch this all the time. Or read this all the time.
So,
obviously you're an adult.
As an adult, I know. I think I'm kind of ambivalent. I mean, it's probably not something I'm going to read again. Though I'm glad I read it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I didn't hate it.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't want to give it a 1. But I'd probably have to give it something more along 5.
Okay, I was thinking 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about the movie?
For the movie, once again, I probably won't put it on anytime soon.
Really?
Yeah, but...
I want to watch it now.
Doesn't surprise me. But at the same time, it was a well-done enough movie to where I would probably have to give it, like, a 6, maybe? 7?
But that's not much more than the book.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
It's not... Like I said, if it's something in the background...
So
or
you
if
would
it's
not
want to
watch
on,
this again?
No, I would. If it's okay. On TV and some or someone wanted to watch it.
Like me right now?
Yeah, I would on the grand scheme.
There's a TV right there.
But I'm not going to say, hey, let's go watch Matilda, you know? Or it's not going to be
I
like
do that.
The top
I,
movie.
I say that.
I believe you.
Look, it's like a heartwarming movie. It makes you feel good.
I think because I've been watching a lot of heartwarming type stuff, we won't say how good or bad it is.
It's heartwarming, but it's good quality.
Okay, yeah, I grant that. But I think at this point I'm in a phase where I've been wanting to watch stuff a little bit more intellectually challenging.
All right, so next week is Schindler's List.
I haven't read that in forever.
That's not a book, is it?
It is a book.
Oh.
It is, yeah.
I don't think I want to do that.
It's very depressing.
Well, the movie is too, so.
Yes, as is. It'd be like reading Have You Read Night?
No.
That's no. It's about as depressing no. as that.
I but say. I have read Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl.
I've read that too, but it's been a long time.
But that's hopeful. So.
Yeah, I mean, like if my nieces or nephew came over and wanted to watch it, I'd put it on. It'd be, I think it would be something
I have tried to like indoctrinate so many children with this movie.
Doesn't surprise
like,
me.
Oh, there's this movie. You want to watch it?
I think it's one of those in which if we're looking for something to watch, need something to watch, I would have no, you know, mm-hmm. I put it on. But I think for me personally, I'm not going to go put it on.
Sure. So I think I give the book a 4, and I think I want to give the movie an 8.
Okay.
Yeah. I really want to give it more. I really do. I'm trying to think of every other grade I've given to things. Because I know I gave Coraline maybe a 9.
Mm.
You know what? Forget it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to break it. I'm giving this a 10.
I was waiting for that.
I'm giving this one a 10. I never thought I would do it, but I'm doing it. There.
All right, cool.
Great. Okay, cool. So, okay, favorite character.
Mm-hmm. From which one?
Get my dog characters.
Miss Honey.
Oh, yeah. Miss Honey.
Mm-hmm.
In the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Miss Honey in the movie.
I don't know if I have one in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like the characters are kind of too...
I found them more annoying in the book.
I didn't. I didn't find them annoying. I just found them very...
There's like that one like female character. I don't think it was Hortensia. It may have been someone else in the book. Who, like chews with her mouth open and stuff and is like really gross. And
in the book?
I think so.
I don't remember either.
But I just remember Kate Winslet doing the voice for her and just being really grossed out. I was like, I think if I read this, I wouldn't have been as grossed out.
Yeah,
the Miss Honey in the movie for sure my favorite.
Yeah.
She's just, you know like when you're a kid and there's just people you just latch onto?
Mm-hmm.
She was like that.
Mm.
Anyways, all right, so now it's time for our favorite section. What kind of adaptation is this? And I think we're agreed on this one. Would you? I'll say again, if you have not listened to our intro, that's when we go into detail on all the different types of adaptation that I've come up with. We have true to source material, we have expanded, we have artistic, and we have message driven. I'm glad I remembered that off the top of my head.
I did remember.
I mean, I hope I remember them. I came up with them, but still, it's been a while.
Definitely message driven.
I just was waiting. You're going to say expanded, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, because they fill in a lot of...
They do.
Yeah.
It's very true. There's a couple things they take out. There's a lot of things they add. It definitely felt like the same thing, just a lot more of it.
It did. I think... I mean, but we could all... I mean, I guess you could make a case to where it's like a... almost a true adaptation, but I think there was enough of the expansion, and then I think interestingly enough a lot of the expansion was in the fleshing out of the characters.
Yeah, and a lot of the adaptation, a lot of the expansion came from stuff that was in the book. They just didn't go into it.
Yeah
like they talk about how the Trunchbull took Miss Honey's house and how she hypothetically killed her father.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just go into it in the movie. Like, they say, okay, well, then let's go check out the house. Like, let's go look at the house. Let's, like, what's in the house?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, like, it's stuff that was in the book. They just didn't explore it.
True.
I look at the book like a house.
Mm-hmm.
A hallway. I'll say that. It's a hallway. And the book has a lot of locked doors. in this hallway.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the doors are open, and so we look into those doors. The movie said, okay, let's just open up all the doors.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. I think it was...
this is probably one of the easiest ones.
Yeah, I mean, granted, I think I liked the book a little bit more than you did. But I liked it for little things, whether mm-hmm. it was naming all those books that she read, or mm-hmm. it was simplifying.
Roald Dahl definitely has a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes out. But I feel like a lot of the characters in his book felt very similar to me.
That's what I was actually curious. I thought about that when I was reading it. Mm-hmm. Because you see that with certain authors.
Like almost all the children felt all the same.
Mm-hmm.
But they had defining characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and obviously it's a kid's book, so that makes sense. But
I think the one thing I liked in general, though, of the messages, and maybe this is why, like, I remember when we did the Goosebumps and I, you know, and it was cool. I enjoyed it. I watched it. Probably something I'm never going to go back and read and watch again.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, I like especially his message. And mm-hmm. I think that's why I would also encourage others, youngsters, mm-hmm. youngins to read it. The whole idea of stepping away from the television,
mm-hmm.
you know, in this case, also social media now, but to read more. And I know when I've been discussing the idea of raising a child, and I think it's very important. I wish parents would emphasize that more. So I think in general, his message, that was like the biggest message I got from there. I kind of also kept on, I won't lie, as reading the book, I kept on thinking, like, did he go through trauma as a kid of abuse? That was really dark in certain places.
A lot of his kids in books experience things like this. Yeah. Like, think of, like, Charlie was an abuse. Like, he had a happy family, but very, very poor. And like, he, I think, got picked on in school and stuff like that. Mm. But, like, James and Giant Peach, like, his aunts are horrible.
I've never seen that one or watched it. Read it.
He's, like, basically abused.
Okay.
Yeah, it's similar.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, funny enough, Miss Honey
mm-hmm.
was almost played by a few different actresses, and one of them would have been, guess who?
Who?
Your favorite from Heathers.
From Heathers?
Mm-hmm. Who's the main girl in Heathers?
Winona Ryder?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Winona Ryder was considered, but she was filming The Crucible.
Oh, I can't picture her as Miss
Honey. I know, right?
That's like...
Right, and the one I can imagine, like, I can wrap my brain around all mm-hmm. of these. The other one I could not think about until I found out why she wasn't in it
mm-hmm.
was Rosie O'Donnell.
Guess who?
Miss Honey, right?
I can't very picture different. That.
But then you know why they didn't go with her? Is because she was filming Harriet the Spy.
Wow.
And then when I realized who she was in Harriet the Spy, I was like, oh, they're very similar characters.
I've never seen Harriet the Spy.
It's fine.
Okay.
It's a kid's movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she plays a very similar character.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, she's probably... So I could imagine her as Miss Honey, but because I'm so used to M. Beth Davis.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I think M. Beth Davis is so... There's something about her I really like.
Mm.
She's been in a bunch of different movies. She was in Bicentennial Man, if you ever watched that, with Robin Williams.
No, but interestingly enough, I've been thinking about reading the short story it's based on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's the same. Yeah, no, I think she looked familiar, but I couldn't remember her from any other movies she'd been in.
Great.
All right.
Well, I can't think of anything else to talk about.
Yep.
I like this one. I was excited for this one. Apparently, a lot of people were excited about this one. I had a lot of people... who asked, what are we going to be recording soon? And I said, Matilda. And they said, oh, I love Matilda.
Yeah, I don't know anybody.
So I hope we have our viewers, our listeners up on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did not talk about the musical.
No.
And but, you know, maybe in the future we might come back and talk about that one.
All right. Well,
thank you for listening.
Yes.
We do this for ourselves. We love doing this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like our hobby. I think we've said before. But... you know, if anybody has suggestions or, you know, comments, whatever, please send us an email. We'll give you that in our outro. But thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it.
Much appreciated.
Yeah. If you can keep giving us more listens.
Give us likes, thumbs up, whatever it is, your five-star reviews. Or hopefully also this encourages you to watch or read more. There's so much out there amongst all the... Forgive me for saying this, but a lot of crap out there. And I know crap can be good sometimes for, it's like junk food, you know, sometimes it's good. But it's also good to look into other things deeper and to explore a lot of the older stuff. And we'll continue doing that.
All right.
All right.
Thank you again, everybody. You have a, it's not nighttime.
Or else it is.
Every time. I know. Every time.
Either way, we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to our podcast, Willing to Adapt. Please like and subscribe. Maybe leave a review or just share us with friends and family.
We would also love if you would follow us on social media.
If you have ideas for future episodes for us, please email us at ericandromi@willingtoadapt.com.
That's Romy with an I.
And remember, when the only thing constant in life is change, be willing to adapt.